Well, good morning, Emmanuel Bible Church, and welcome. My name is Pastor Mark Hazen. I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and I'm glad to be with you today, even if it's this way. Thank you for joining us for our online service. Welcome to our members, and welcome to our guests. If you've joined us online and you're a guest of this church, we certainly want to welcome you, and we hope that someday we will have the opportunity to meet face to face. For those of you who have connected to our website, or through our YouTube channel, you would have received the call to worship that was put together for us. You would have also have noticed, and I imagine, participated with us through the song selections that our musicians have put together. And I tell you, it is good. It is good to participate together in worship, even when we are separated from one another. You know, we've said all along, the church isn't a building. The church isn't a building with an address. No, the church is the called out people of God. And it's the people that we miss, not the building. The building is just a tool. The facility is just a tool for us to gather in. We're thankful for the building, but we love the people. And it's the people who matter, and it's the people that we miss, not the brick and mortar. So we miss being together, and we're looking forward to being together as soon as we can. You know, while we're not able to meet together in our facility as we would like, we thank God for the ability to gather in this way while we are separated from one another. And I'm certainly thankful for the team of people who are making this online service possible. The very few that are gathered here and some that are even away from us this morning and making this possible for us. I'm also thankful for your support that makes this ministry possible, and I'm grateful to participate with you in supporting this ministry and also to participate with you together this morning in worship. You know, there are a number of things that we miss when we're not together. We miss seeing one another. We miss speaking with one another. We miss sharing with one another. We miss singing with one another. We miss the ability to pray together in person. We miss the hugs and the handshakes. We miss the corporate opening of our Bibles. Our text for this morning is John chapter 19. You can turn there. We miss hearing the pages come open and the pages turning or that soft glow in our face as our digital devices turn on. We miss the prolonged fellowship that takes place after our service. You know, we say amen at the end of our service, and then we gather together, and the fellowship here at Emmanuel Bible Church, it goes on for hours after our services are over, and we miss that. We miss our parents picking up the kids coming out of their children's ministry and all those kids charging through the foyer and running through the church. We miss the moms and dads picking up their little ones out of the nursery. And you know, us older folks, we don't change much week by week, but those little ones do. And boy, it feels like some of them are going to be driving to church before we're able to meet again. But we miss all of those things. I'm not positive you miss the coffee. I think maybe your coffee at home might be a little better. We have good coffee here at the church, but maybe your coffee at home is a little better than what we serve here. But we do miss having coffee together. We would certainly rather have substandard church coffee together than superior coffee all alone. And then, of course, there's the Timbits. Of course, we miss the Timbits. And Timbits all alone are just lonely. But we miss being together, and believe me, as leaders here at the church, we are working on plans for how we might be able to come together as soon as that is possible. We will come back together when it's wise, when it's deemed safe, and we're prepared to accommodate you, which will be as soon as we can. Of course, as you know, we're into another 3 weeks of sheltering in place, and so it's going to be a little while. I think even the corporate gatherings may be a little bit beyond that, and so continue to be patient and bear with us. Continue to connect online this way as we worship God together online. Let's take a moment, and let's begin our service with a word of prayer, and then we'll press into our sermon for this morning. But let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to come this morning and to open our Bibles. We're grateful for the opportunity that is ours to draw near to you through Jesus Christ. We're grateful for this new day. We're grateful for the glory of the sunshine and the beauty of the day. We're grateful that you have given us this gift. We pray that this morning that you would be honored and that Jesus Christ would be exalted and that we would be drawn to him. We pray that you would be worshipped in ways which are appropriate for you. Father, bless now our time in your word. Cause us to be attentive to what you have for us to hear. May the eyes of our heart be open, and may we see Jesus Christ, and may we be encouraged together this morning. We ask for your blessing upon the service, both the preaching of the word and the hearing of the word. And so we ask for this in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it doesn't take much during this sheltering in place with all of the restrictions that are presently upon us. It doesn't take much to be reminded that we like it when bad things come to an end. We like it when bad things come to an end. Whatever it is, whenever we're going through a difficult experience, an undesired event, a painful time, we like it when bad things come to an end. You remember the old song? Hello, Mata. Hello, Fada. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining. And they say we'll have some fun when it stops raining. You remember that song, I'm sure you do. If you don't, you can go look it up after this service is over. A matter of fact, the Library of Congress voted to preserve that song this year, 2020, because of its cultural relevance. And so if you want to be culturally savvy, you go check that song out. But we like it when bad things come to an end. We like it when the rain stops. We like it when the winter is over and spring is upon us and the clouds go away. We like it when bad experiences come to an end. We will certainly like it when the restrictions are lifted from us because the virus has run its course. We like it when bad things come to an end. We also like it when good things come to a good finish. There's a particular satisfaction that is found when we finish a project that we began. Whether we're building a house or building a deck or sewing a dress or quilting a quilt, whatever it is, when we take on a project that we enjoy and it's good, we like it when we bring it to a completion. When it finishes. We like school, especially now that we're not able to go to school. We have all these kids who thought they didn't like school, but when it's taken away from them, they discover they like school. And we like school, it's a good thing, but we like the completion of it. We like it when we graduate and when we finish. We like going to the ball game, and at the end of the ball game, our team wins. You know, as a pastor, I have an occupation. There are other occupations like mine, but I have a job that doesn't end. There's never a clear completion or a clear finish. It just keeps on going. It doesn't end. So I frequently tell my wife, I like to mow the lawn because there's a clear start and there's a clear end and you can stand back and you can say, it is finished. It's over and it looks good. So we like it when things are finished and finished well. You know, we've been engaged in a sermon series here at Emmanuel and we have been looking at words from Jesus spoken from the cross. And it's been a challenging series to go through. This is not the typical kind of preaching that we do here at Emmanuel. And when we decided several months ago to go into this series, we knew that it was going to be unique and challenging. Little did we know that it would be challenging that we'd be speaking to empty rooms. But we have heard from Jesus, speaking from the cross, six statements, or at least the six statements will be covered this morning. We have heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Dear woman, behold your son. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. This morning we will hear Jesus proclaim from the cross, tetelestai. It's just one word in the original. Tetelestai is the word. In our Bibles, it's translated, it is finished. Three words. John 19:30. That's our text for this morning. It is finished. When Jesus cries out from the cross, it is finished, what is he talking about? What's finished? Now, if you're looking in your Bible at John 19:30, the entire verse actually says this. When Jesus had received the sour wine, again, just prior to that, he said, I thirst. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So when Jesus said, it is finished, does he mean he is finished? Like, he's over, he's done, he's dead. No, that's not what he means. He knows, and we know, that he is not finished, because we know that he's going to rise from the dead. And then following that, he's going to reveal himself to multitudes of people, giving many convincing proofs that he is alive. We know that he's going to return to heaven. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to continue his work on earth through his disciples and followers. We know that today he's praying for us and serving as our great high priest. We know that he's coming back again to receive those who are eagerly waiting for him. So he is not finished. So what is he talking about? What is finished? This is his cry from the cross. It is finished. Well, think with me. We like it when bad things come to an end. We like it when good things come to a good end. We like it when the bad guys lose. And we like it when the good guys win. With those thoughts in mind, think with me this morning as we think through this word from the cross, it is finished. You know, when we go to the funeral of a friend or a loved one, we often hear said at the funeral, their suffering is over. Whatever it is that has brought about their death and the suffering that they have gone through, it is now completed and their suffering is over. We certainly know that is true for those who know God. At the cross, when Jesus cries out, "It is finished," is Jesus' suffering over? You know, the prophet Isaiah said that Jesus would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as we've been learning through this series, Jesus came into our full human experience. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, our grief. He knew what it was to grow up with the rumors concerning his suspicious birth. He knew what it was, the discrimination of being a unique child with family members, brothers and sisters, who were against him and discredited him and denied him. I wonder if he was Mary's favorite son. I wonder, as the oldest son in the family, if he had unique responsibilities and expectations placed on him. Jesus knew what it was to have a sinful family. Jesus knew what it was to have imperfect parents. Jesus knew what it was to submit to imperfect authorities. He did that for 30 years. He knew what it was to have hometown rejection. The people of his own town at one point sought to kill him. He knew what it was to have hometown rejection. He also knew the suffering of fame, the inability to travel in public places because of his renown. He knew the fickleness of the crowds, at one moment worshiping him, and at the next moment mocking him and deserting him. He knew the suffering of the loss of a loved one. He cried when his friend Lazarus died. He spent some time apart when his cousin John the Baptist was murdered. He experienced the cowardice and rejection of his closest friends. He was betrayed by an insider. He was falsely represented and falsely accused. He was the recipient of the worst injustice ever, condemned to death simply out of jealousy. He knew the painful suffering of the cross. He knew what it was to be forsaken by God. He knew what it was to thirst. Clearly, Jesus suffered. He suffered because he chose to love. But my friend, Jesus is not suffering now. His suffering is over. His suffering ended at the cross. Jesus is the victorious champion of heaven and earth. He is not suffering now. His sufferings were completed. He is the glorious, risen Son of God. So it is finished. His suffering clearly is over. Now, the gospel writer, Matthew, I won't have you turn there, but you could go back to Matthew chapter 27. In the gospel of Matthew, it tells us that when Jesus cried out, "Tetelestai, it is finished," and he gave up his spirit, at that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What an awesome message. That clearly communicates the way into the Holy of Holies is now open. Access to God is now granted. There's no more coming through the temporary priesthood. No more sacrifices are to be made. No more animal blood to be shed. Access to God has now been gained. And it's no longer through that old sacrificial system. So not only is suffering over, but sacrifice is over. A final, acceptable sacrifice for sin has been made. It is finished. You know, maybe at the beginning of this year, you began reading through your Bibles. And if you've done that, you would notice that animal sacrifices began at the very beginning, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, where God himself sacrificed an animal to cover Adam and Eve, to cover their sin and their shame and their nakedness. And those animal sacrifices continued, and they were codified in the law as a necessary way of temporarily covering sin. It was like sin was covered on like a credit card, if you will. The payment is coming. Well, there was an animal sacrifice in the Garden of Eden. Animal sacrifices were codified in the law as that whole system of sacrifices were put in place. You could have your sins temporarily covered as you trusted in God to provide a final sacrifice. And it was also provided a way to approach God appropriately in worship. You came with blood, and you came with the priest. That system was clearly in place in Jesus' day. The law, the temple, the priesthood, the sacrifices, it's over now because Jesus has fulfilled it. That old system was known as the Old Covenant. A new and better covenant has been inaugurated, and that by the blood of Jesus Christ. The New Testament authors make it clear that Jesus was the full and final sacrifice for sin. The Apostle John calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Apostle Paul called Jesus our Passover Lamb. The author of the book of Hebrews said Jesus is the full and final payment for sin. No more sacrifices are to be made. He, Jesus, shed his blood once for all. You know, as you read through the Old Testament, not only do you read about those old animal sacrifices that pointed forward to the final one, but you also read about the construction of the temple and the tabernacle. Now, I'll be honest with you, if you get into those pages of Scripture, it makes for some laborious reading. Very rich, but very difficult. Page after page, as all the construction of the tabernacle furniture is detailed for us, and then the actual making of it and the setting up of the temple and the tabernacle and the temple. You read about the tent and the tent pegs and the curtains and then the tables and the wash basins and the altars and the rings and the hooks and the curtains and the courtyards and the candelabras and the clothing, page after page. When you finish reading through all of those temple furniture and all that was constructed in the tabernacle and the temple, you discover at the end there was one piece of furniture where there was no construction made. There was no chair constructed for the priest to sit down. There's no seats. We come into church and we sit down. There are no seats made in the tabernacle and in the temple. There are no seats made because the priest's work was never finished. It just kept going. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Look what Hebrews chapter 10 tells us. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, namely himself, he sat down at the right hand of God. It is finished. The work of sacrifice for sin is now complete. No more sacrifices need to be made. That curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Access to God has been granted. It also tells us in the book of Hebrews, and I probably should have put it on the screen, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain. Jesus is the final sacrifice. Jesus is the final priest. Jesus himself replaces the temple. We don't go to a particular place to worship God. No, we draw near to God through Jesus Christ. Globally, anywhere, anytime, all the time. He, Jesus Christ, replaces all of that Old Testament system. It is finished. Sacrifice for sin is over. It all pointed to him, and it was all fulfilled in him. So, it is finished. Jesus' suffering is over. A bad thing has come to an end. Sacrifice is over. A good thing has been completed. That old system was a good thing. It enabled the people to draw near to God and to worship him acceptably. But sacrifice is over. What else is finished? Satan is finished. Satan is defeated. Satan is overcome. Colossians chapter 2 tells us that Satan has been disarmed. How remarkable. God said in the very beginning, if we sin, we die. Death is the weapon that Satan held in his hand. The weapon that he held in his hand, which was against us. Satan tempted the parents of the human race to sin, to disobey God, to disbelieve God and disobey God. He tempted them. They sinned and they died, and death and sin passed to every one of us. We were born to them. We have their record, and we haven't done any better. We haven't improved on their record at all. They were sinners, and we were sinners, and sin incurs a debt. The wages of sin is death. The debt of sin is death. Death was the weapon that Satan once held. He tempted the parents of the human race to sin. They disobeyed and sinned, and death reigned from Adam to Jesus. Jesus was born into the human race, and he never sinned. He didn't have that debt. He didn't receive those wages. Jesus was born into the human race, and he never sinned, and yet he died. He didn't deserve to die, but he died. He died intentionally to bring death to an end, to take death on himself for every one of us. He died intentionally to bring death to an end. He died willingly to take the wages of sin upon himself. There was a debt that was owed, and Jesus paid it. There was a weapon in Satan's hand, and Jesus had that weapon used upon himself. Jesus took death on for all of us. He defeated death in his resurrection. Satan now has no more weapons. Jesus took that from him. It is though at the cross, Satan unhurled all of his armory on Jesus Christ, and Jesus took it all. Now Satan has been disarmed. He has no more weapon. So Satan struck Jesus' heel. Jesus crushed Satan's head. Satan has nothing now but noise and lies. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. I already referenced Colossians chapter 2. In that passage, it gives us a very picturesque illustration. Jesus took our record of debt. He took our legal record of debt, our ledger of sin, and he nailed it to the cross. He nailed it to the cross when he himself was nailed to the cross. He became sin for us. Dying in our place, he paid for the debt of our sin. Rising from the dead, salvation, eternal life has now been secured. Now that sin has been paid for, Satan has nothing. He has been disarmed. The weapon he has against us has been removed. This is what is finished at the cross. Death is finished at the cross as Satan has been disarmed. So, it is finished. Suffering is over. A bad thing has ended. Sacrifice is over. A good thing has ended. It's been fulfilled. Satan is finished. He has been disarmed. An enemy has been defeated. Finally, salvation through Christ is now finished. Salvation through Jesus Christ is now finished because his work is finished. Jesus said that he came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus said that he came to do his Father's will and to finish the work that God gave him to do, and his work is now finished. Jesus, at the cross, in his suffering, in his sacrifice of himself, in his disarming Satan, he has finished the work that he came to do. It is finished. We know that after his death, he rose from the dead, victorious over death, victorious over sin. He appeared to multitudes of people, giving many convincing proofs that he was alive. He ascended to his Father in heaven. He is seated at his Father's right hand. He sent the Spirit to continue the work in the world of God. He will rise up in the end, and he will save those who are eagerly waiting for him. But his work now is finished. Look again at Hebrews chapter 9. It says this: Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin. That's been done. Not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. He's coming again, not to deal with sin. That's been finished. His work on earth has been finished, but he's coming again for those who are eagerly waiting for him. Well, here's the message this morning. We like it when bad things come to an end. We like it when good things come to a good finish. We like it when enemies are defeated. We like it when the righteous are victorious. Jesus cried out from the cross, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Because of Jesus, everything bad will be undone, and everything glorious will be realized. I should have put that on the screen for you. Let me say it again. Because of Jesus, everything bad will be undone, and everything glorious will be realized. You know, let me close with this question. If Jesus finished the work, finished his suffering, defeated and disarmed Satan, completed that Old Testament system, If Jesus finished the work for my salvation, what work remains for me to do? You know, in John chapter 6, the crowd came to Jesus and asked him that very question. What must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered their question. He said this, "The work of God is this, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Everything that needs to be done, everything that I need to do in order to be forgiven and accepted and welcomed by God has been finished. I'm trusting in the one who has finished the work. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ who came and made an end to it. So what work remains for me to do? Believe in the one whom God has sent us, who God has sent and who has finished the work. Colossians chapter 2 says this, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord," how did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? You placed your faith in him, the one whom God sent to finish the work. "Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith." Colossians chapter 2. Boy, this has been good to hear once again these words from Jesus from the cross. It is finished. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we're grateful once again for this time in your word. We are most thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful that he willingly came and entered into our suffering. He came into our suffering because he chose to love, to express your love and to give your love. And he went to the cross, and he finished the work that you gave him to do. He has provided for our salvation. It is paid for. It is finished. It is complete. Nothing more can be added to it. He has done it. We rejoice in all that you have done for us in Jesus Christ. We're grateful for what you've recorded in your word and how all of those Old Testament sacrifices pointed to him, how the priesthood pointed to him, how the temple itself pointed to him, and how he fulfilled it all. We're grateful that he came, finished your work, was that final payment for sin, is now our great high priest who ever lives, who is now seated at your right hand, and who is coming again to eagerly receive those who are waiting. Father, what a great salvation you have provided for us. And we're thankful for it. We praise you. We honor your son, Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name this morning. Amen. It's been good to be worshiping together with you this morning. I want to remind you that we have one more week in this series, and we'll come to that next week. "Father, into your hand I commit my spirit" will be the final message in this series, and we'll announce next Sunday morning where we're going next in the text. I expect it'll be a little different than this series for sure. But let me give you just a couple of quick announcements before you go. If you have been watching the church calendar, you would have been reminded that tonight was actually to be our quarterly member meeting. And just obviously that's not happening. It was on the schedule, but we're not able to gather together. We have started compiling all of the ministry reports for the first quarter of the year. And we'll get those completed and put together, and we'll get those into your hand. So be watching your inbox. We'll email them out to you or watch your mailbox. Those of you who don't have email, we'll get those in your mailbox and in your hands. Also, just want to continue to encourage you in light of that, because we're not gathering together, keep your eyes on our website. Keep going to our website, EmmanuelBibleChurchSaginaw.org. Now, that's a long address, so make it one of your favorites. But EmmanuelBibleChurchSaginaw.org, keep going to our website. That's where we update all of our information. It's also where you can get access to the messages that we're putting out every week and also the encouraging words. At different times throughout the week, I'm putting together just short 3 to 5 minute videos, encouraging words from the pastor, and I trust you're being blessed by those. And then just finally, keep connecting with one another. By way of email, phone calls, keep connecting with one another, encouraging one another in the Lord, discussing the message with one another, keep praying for one another. As a church, this last week, we've experienced a wedding and a birth and a death. The life continues to go on, and so these experiences are still happening within our church family, even though we're not together. And so keep just reaching out to one another, blessing and praying for one another. And we'll be together as soon as we make that, or it's possible for us. But God bless you. I trust that you have a great Sunday. Continue your worship with one another. You have a great day. We'll be together again very soon. God bless you.